Well, if you will lift one hand to the Lord and say, Father, I have ears that hear.
I do have ears that hear.
I have eyes that see.
I do have eyes that see.
Because you enlighten me.
Because you enlighten me.
I have a heart that is perceiving.
I have a heart that's perceiving.
That I'm learning something.
That I'm learning something.
That will help me. To impart down the road. To those that are more broken than me. Because you're in the family business. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to say that when I lifted my hands last night in the car to pray, the enemy said, somebody's going to see you. And I took it negative. And I went to go lower my hands, and I heard no. So I lifted them back up, and I said, Lord, you're going to do what you're wanting to do, whatever it was, and I give him all the glory. And there was another miracle that happened this week. I want to share that before I go into the word. Because, again, the investment of God in all of us. About a week and a half ago, when we had a couple of bad rainstorms that were driven, our bathroom downstairs started to have a nice little need of a bucket because we had water. And so, yeah, but it wasn't the flushable kind. It was the kind that falls all over the floor. So anyway, long story short, I called a company that did some work for me many years ago at the store, and we've had them before, and so obviously I had looked around where I could, but there was nothing visible for me. So he finally came on Wednesday he called me. And he came over, he looked, and he says, well, we're going to need a big ladder because it's up on a dormer. And undoubtedly, it has to be up there because there's nothing visible in the lower area. So he came back the next day, and he did the repair work, et cetera, and they found a couple of things, and he checked around the chimney at the same time and put, you know, so it was worth it. And so again, I said to him, I know your dad is the one that did the work for me way back when we had the business, et cetera. And I thank you for his prompt, you know, obedience to come. Because sometimes they never call you back. So his fee was very reasonable, and I was very blessed. And so before he left, him and his helper were in the truck, and I said, I just want you to know, I'm not ashamed to say, you guys are quality people. And I said, you know, I hope to see you again. He said, well, we don't really want to see you because if we don't see you, that means the link is fixed. So he says to me, it's 100 years this year that his family is in the repairs of roofs.
Wow.
And I thought that's pretty cool. He was very, very sweet. Yeah, very sweet. They're called Warren Roofers and very faithful people. So the other piece to the puzzle is, what does God want us to know and do that makes sense to us, and what is he trying to tell us today? Well, if you listen to any kind of, let's say, news bulletin, whether it's on YouTube or on TV or anything, everybody has an opinion about the time we're in. But this book was written between 1995 and 2005. That's when it was really given out. It's called Waterspouts of Glory by Wade Taylor. And on page 170, he kind of stunned me to look at this. Now, I've read this book before, but he had me pull it back out. And I want to share with you what Wade was sharing actually quite a few years back, and I thought it might be helpful to give a little bit of insight, because I've used the analogy of when Jesus was born, nothing changed on the calendar. When he lived for 30 years, nothing changed on the calendar. Huh?
Did you start the recording?
Did you start the recording?
Yeah. So, the bottom line about the transition of a year, as I made a note this morning, okay? Today is July 25th, 2021. Yes, and it's the year of our Lord, 2021. It starts at the birth of Christianity and the New Covenant. Otherwise, we'd call it before Christ. And of course, you know what that means. So people in this realm and in the earth, especially that are under the Roman calendar, know that it's the year of our Lord that we're in. And even the unbeliever writes the date. And he puts 2021. He doesn't put 6,000, etc. Or the Jewish calendar, 57. And, you know, things are given to us to understand, not to baffle us, but to awaken us. So, I'd like to kind of give you a little bit of the progression that is hopefully going to bring you to greater understanding and the establishment of his kingdom and his rule within our lives and his desire for the spiritual growth and well-being of his church. This will result in the disclosure of new methods and understanding far richer and more glorious than before. There lies between the closing of one dispensation and the opening of another a period of time which participates in methods and powers of both ages. That's who we are. We are living in a transition time. We are now living in such a period of time. We live between the gospel era, the time of the Gentiles, now closing, and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom age, which is about to open. This incoming age will see more extraordinary events. The most noted and central of all will be the revelation and coming of the King to manifestly take his place as head of his body. And you say, well, what does that mean? It means that Jesus is going to be the Lord of the church for a change, instead of head trips by men and women that control the narrative of the church. That's my addition. Only those who presently walk with him with an enlightened eye will understand the unfolding of this new day. We must have kingdom visions. Otherwise, our eyes will be blinded. Many of the Lord's redeemed continue to linger in that which is already known and established, where they feel secure and comfortable. Those who desire to walk closely to Jesus must be willing to pay the price of being misunderstood. They must be willing to identify with those who are seeking to go further. Therefore, let us go forth. Therefore, to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach, for here we have no continuity or continuing city. We seek one to come, Hebrews 13, verse 13 and 14. I repeat, let us go forth therefore to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, But we seek one to come, which is the Jerusalem that's coming. This day is foretold in Scripture in many guises and forms. We are living near the end of the sixth day of creation, or the second day of grace. Notice it's both. That's why we use the Jewish calendar. The seventh or third day, depending on our point of reference, is at hand and upon us. In the prophetic word, 1,000 years is as a day. Note carefully the following passage of Scripture. A change in revelation and in manifestations take place at the end of the sixth day of creation, or the second day of grace, and at the beginning of the seventh, or the third day in each of the following passages. Are you ready? Hosea 6:2. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we will live in his sight. Kind of cool, huh? Exodus 19, verses 10 and 11. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day of the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Kind of cool as well. Luke 13:32. And he said to them, go you and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow. And the third day I shall be perfected. Again, that's Luke 13:32. I say it again because this was one of Wade's most used scripture. When I was with him, I can't tell you how many times he used it just to verify the time we're in. Go you and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow. That's 2 days. And the third day I shall be perfected. Not will be. Shall be. That's for my brother's sake. And after 6 days, Matthew 17, verse 1 and 2. After 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. Notice again the timing. Luke 22, verse 14 through 16. Jesus spoke of a certain hour that was to come. And when the hour was come, he said to them, with desires I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He rejoiced and he projected their vision to this day that is before us. Acts 1:6. His disciples asked concerning this day, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They're on a natural level, right? Jesus said, do not say that he would not do this, restore again the kingdom. Rather, he said that there was something that must first take place. The establishing of a corporate witness. That's what he's doing right now. In all the earth. And it's happening all over. as we witness to Jesus, martyrs to our self-life, our lives will reflect his life. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1:8. Two disciples walked with him along the road towards Emmaus, saying, Luke 24, verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Confirming again pieces to the puzzle. Although it was the beginning of the third day, despite all that the Lord had told them, their vision was set upon the former age. And we do the same. They were set on the former age. We sometimes only think about what we know. And most of that knowledge is under the wrong tree. We talked about that. Luke 24:14. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Again, that's in reference to what was. They were not considering, nor did they have faith to believe all that he had shown them. In this frame of mind, they could not discern his presence. In this frame of mind, they couldn't connect. As he walked with them, there was no connection. Luke 24, verse 15 and 16. And it came to pass that while they communed together, without an iPad, and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were held that they should not know him. They heard the anointed word of God from the Lord himself, but they did not understand. No connection of the dots. Verse 27, same chapter 24, Luke 24. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he was talking about himself. He's talking about his own revelation. It was only when he passed through the gates, the age to come, and broke bread with them that they remembered his promise. Luke 22, 16. For I say to you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Immediately, their vision turned towards the kingdom, and they recognized the king. Today, many who know the Lord are as these disciples, looking back, yet not willing to go forth with him. Until our perspective is right, we will not discern his presence. I repeat, we will not discern his presence as being our Lord and King, or his presentation of the age to come. So we can get samples if we're awake. That's my version. The book of Revelation is the unveiling of Jesus Christ as being the Lord of the age to come. Revelations 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. It's shortly in God's vision, 2,000 years. He will reveal the things that pertain to the closing out of the church age, the coming judgment, and the setting up of his millennial kingdom. To those who walk with him, and I stress the word, believing. Without the believing that you're in that space, you won't connect the dots. Revelations 4, verses 1 and 2. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. If we are to be a part of all that is about to transpire, it is important that we are looking both up and ahead, rather than back to the past. Times of visitations and past methods of spiritual attainment. Let us look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now you say, why bring all this up? Because I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that these that went before us had a taste of what we're now living in. I can't help but remember the years that I listened to Kim Clement and his prophetic words over the years. And I remember making notes saying, boy, it's going to be tough. John Paul Jackson prophesying about the perfect storm, pointing out that there was going to be unbelievable things happening. Listening to the Holy Spirit, we have been able to hold on by choice looking forward. I was speaking to someone this week, and they said, well, what about, what do you think? I said, my thinking has nothing to do with it. My thinking is only going to be referred to by what we've already walked in. So if I depend on my thinking, I'm in trouble. However, my comment was, I believe the feasts of God are important. He showed me that back in the 80s. He showed me that I was supposed to be obedient to it and to make sure that some would acknowledge that the feasts of God are also to be manifested by Jesus. And the only one that has not yet been identified and manifested is Tabernacles. And you can't run away from that one. Passover is already done. And now, a year ago, we had a Passover for a whole bunch of nations that were literally locked up, looking hopefully up. I say hopefully because I believe some did. But there are also some that are only looking back. And when you're looking back at what you know and what you understand, you're in dependence to the knowledge of good and evil. And that is so, so delicate. Because again, God has brought me back to different things, showed me things, but he also told me not to dwell there. Because if you dwell on the old, you're going to be suckered in. It's almost a seduction routine that the enemy uses to keep you and me tied up in the old. And I don't want to live there. I don't mind getting a visit, getting something healed, just like my sister shared the book, and it's bringing a revelation of truth that you were kept from. And your confession was very precious. You lived in a place of discomfort with these people because it was lack of knowledge. Now that the knowledge is here, how many years were wasted because of the lack of knowledge of that piece to the puzzle? I can remember, pardon?
40.
Yeah, 40 years. Okay. It would be nice if we could pass quickly through those areas and trust that the Holy Spirit has got some visions for us of tomorrow. That's one of the reasons why he pressed in that baptism of light that he wants is not just a fiction of somebody's imagination. I was listening to a couple of people this week on the YouTube channel, and I could read between the lines. And I said, they're talking about, in fact, one of them was very, very precious. He spoke about, he had a dream, and in the dream, or a vision, I don't remember which, he saw stalks of wheat growing. And some of the wheat was like a light off-white color, which is the natural, and some were black. And he said, God, what is this? And he said, they're growing together and don't pull them out. All right? And I said, Lord, why are the ones that are beige lit up? It's because inside the light has exploded. And the darkness has definitely dissipated. So now you're going to have two kinds of Christians. You're going to have some that are stuck in darkness, living in darkness, and not choosing to change. But you're going to have some, because they're looking to the future, that are going to be filled with light, and it's going to cause division in the church. And I said, oh my, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit has tried to, let's say, bring me to an awareness of and bring it out. Now, some people are going to fight with that because they think, oh, this wonderful global church is going to be so awesome. And I'm not saying that it's not going to have signs and wonders. Even the very elect could be deceived. That's what the scripture says. But what we need to do is we need to stand firm and hold fast to what God has revealed to us. And as a church, we are accountable to that vision. Why has he given us the visions that he has? Why has he given us words of knowledge? Why does he carry us to the next level? Well, you know, it's his plan that's unfolding, not mine or yours. The vision of the trench was very exciting, even though at the first time when we saw the man digging, didn't make sense. But the additional pieces to the puzzle made it clear. The trench is to put the footing in. The footing has got to be as quality as the rest of the foundation, which will be solid gold. So we're in a transition of what he wants for this house. I know that. Now, how is he going to progress to bring it forth? By those who are faithful and well-doing. Those who are faithful to continue to go forward. Some that decide to look back are going to be uncomfortable with this message, because it's going to require them to sit with the Lord. It's going to require quiet time with the Lord. It's going to require that when you have a revelation, that you walk with it. If you don't walk with it, it's going to fall apart, because your reasoning is going to take over. And when you're listening to reasoning, remember, your reasoning is under the anointing of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. 99% of what I respond with whenever something happens, and I see it, I'm better at what I did before, because what I did before I think was 100% of learning from the natural. But I also know that it can't remain. It cannot stay there. I can't live there anymore. And when you are dependent on Holy Spirit, your logic is going to be adjusted, because your logic, again, is formed on what you've learned and where you've lived and what you've done and what you haven't done. And the Holy Spirit was pushing this week, reminding me, you're not your experience. You are not your experience. You are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5. That's who you are. But how much time do you spend in that new creation versus the old? How many hours a week are you under that anointing of the old versus waiting upon him? He got me up early this morning and I thought, oh, Lord, you know. But it was good. And so I was in the Word for a little while and the Lord said, shut it down. So I closed my eyes and I went out for the Spirit. I was gone for an hour. And, you know, I looked at the clock and I said, oh, that's good news. I'm glad I got up early. He said, did you really get up early? Or did I get you up? And it was him. I know it was him. And the reasoning would be, oh my God, you're up at this time. What are you going to be doing? I'm going to be doing whatever he wants. Okay? And that includes lifting my hands in my car to praise and worship him and get caught. But I didn't think it was going to be a saint that would catch me. So, you know, what does God say? When are you going to act and react on my instructions? When are you going to go by my revelation for each and every day? When are you going to obey every step of the way? And I said, Lord, when you put it in me, I'll be able to do it. So it's depending on him, leaning on his ability rather than my own ability. Because if I rest with what I know, I'm in trouble. I don't think I can explain it any sweeter than that. So obviously, I'm going to ask you to put your two hands, one on each side of your head, and say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus.
This head has to have a superior head. And his name is Jesus. I want to submit to the King. And have him be the Lord of all. If the thoughts are going in the wrong direction, I need a wake up call. Do whatever needs to be done to awaken me. I don't want to remain the same. I don't want another year of wasted time. Or another minute of wasted time. I want to be obedient. And you need to impart. As I lay hands now, I impart from my spirit an overseer. His Holy Spirit. Overseeing every thought. Pulling down every stronghold. And make it obedient. Whether my brain likes it or not. In Jesus' name. Let the old disintegrate. Under the blood of the Lamb. And let righteous thinking take its place. Right now, in Jesus' name, I pray. Now, I, as I was praying with that, I want to share with you just a very short little possibility for you to see. This is a little bit of the prayer that Wade releases on a conclusion. He said, we are moving towards the end of the day of preparation, the closing out of this present age of grace, and the birthing of a kingdom age. The new day will begin with the intervention of the Lord. intervention. He's going to come in and will progress towards his government being established in this earth. Those who will rule with the Lord in the kingdom age are presently being prepared. That's you. Revelations 2, 26 and 27. And he that overcomes and keeps my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Before these can rule, they must first submit to the rule of the Lord over their lives as a present work of the kingdom. There are two scriptures that apply to this present work of the preparation. Luke 17, verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. These who are to rule with Jesus in the kingdom age cannot do so except they first have submitted their lives to his governmental rule. Thus, this present work of the kingdom is taking place within those who are presently being ruled over by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to repeat that because I sense that's very important. These who are to rule with Jesus in the kingdom age cannot do so except they first have submitted their lives to his governmental rule. Thus, this present work of the kingdom is taking place within those who are presently being ruled over by the Holy Spirit. The message within the pages of this book contains principles and guidance for each of us who seek his highest, that we might better submit our lives to this present work of preparation and be ready to be caught up into his higher purpose in that day. It is my prayer that reading this book will have made your spirit pilgrimage easier, and that each of us will be among those who stand in his presence in that day, prepared for our part in the millennium reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Cool? So I believe that the transition that he's wanting is going to continue to gradually change as we go forward in obedience. That we're going to be aware of the moments that we're under the anointing of him and his Spirit. And we're also going to be aware of the lies and the deceptions of the old life and the old way of thinking and see it falling apart a little bit at a time. Because I believe there's a construction going on by impartation, and there's a destruction of the old that is becoming less and less important. And that's my understanding. I'm not saying that's a law. I'm just saying it's my understanding. So say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
You're on the job.
You're on the job.
I'm trusting you. To take me higher.
Than I've ever been before.
That door is open in the heavens.
And I want up.
I want up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I think it's time to join me at the table.